how it so much is a practice. Like the practice of learning love is a humbling and amazing process that should go on through our entire life. So just yes, it's a spiritual practice. It's a practice. It's an adventure. It is a journey to our greatness. It's the most important thing we can learn in our lives.
Welcome to the You Relationship, a podcast all about relationships, covering topics like dating, divorce, marriage, sex, and most importantly, your relationship with yourself. My name is Maria Juswin. I am a heart guide, helping the spiritual claim their worth, step into their power, and create lives that they are ecstatic about. Oh my goodness. We are at the final episode of season one, 41 episodes in. Mind blown. I was not expecting to go this many episodes in the first season, and I'm so happy I did. From starting off with the Deeper Dating series with Katrina Marie featuring Ken Page's Deeper Dating book, to the Self-Exploration series with Susanna Brusikiewicz, to a bunch of incredible interviews with a variety of lightworkers, another huge variety of solo episodes on a variety, wow, I just said variety a lot, on an array of different topics, to all in the sense and in the essence to help you with your relationship with yourself, first and foremost, but then, of course, your relationships with others as well. It has been so much fun. And I am feeling into what season two will look like for this podcast. I talked a little bit about it in the last episode, in episode 40, about maybe there will be a name change. There's likely to be some cover art change, maybe even a bit of a tweak on the focus of this podcast. So I want to make sure, though, that it is helping you in all of the best possible ways in your journey with yourself and in claiming your worth and in feeling empowered in living a life that is completely aligned with you and your purpose. So I would absolutely adore your feedback. You can provide that to me through the link in the notes from the episode. If you don't know how to get access to those notes, then you can also go to mariajuswin.com/podcast survey. Okay. So that's where you can access that podcast survey episode. So I can get feedback from you on what you've enjoyed, what you'd like to see more of. And if you complete the survey, then you also get entered into a chance to win a 1 hour Claim Your Worth session with me. And those are powerful. There's energy work as part of them, intuitive therapy. You will receive guidance from your higher self, from your energetic bodies, from your spirit guides on what is being asked of you in your life right now. So that's pretty amazing. So definitely, I would love it for you to complete that survey, share your wisdom with me. And for those of you who are, maybe you're sad that you won't be getting, you know, a new episode every week. I'm not quite sure what the break will be between the two seasons. I will announce once season two is coming out on my email list and on my social media pages. So make sure you're part of one of those so that you don't miss out. And for those of you that have really been engaged and really want to take this journey further, if you've listened to a good chunk of these episodes, then you are in that place in your life to make some big shifts and to change the things that are not working for you in some form, whether it's your approach to them, whether it's the things themselves. And you're ready to be in your own authenticity and in your own power and to be excited about your life every day. So I do have some one-on-one openings available right now. So I'm taking in new clients to work with me, and that journey that you will go on with me will really shift your life and definitely shift your experience with yourself. So if you want to learn more about that, you can also do that on my website, mariajesuit.com/unleashed. I'll also put it in the show notes. And last but not least, oh my goodness, this is a really exciting episode. We have Ken Page on the show. I am going to read for you Ken Page's bio. It's pretty impressive. So Ken Page is a renowned psychotherapist and a leading voice of hope and wisdom for everyone seeking to find and cultivate healthy, lasting love. He is the host of the Deeper Dating podcast, co-founder of deeperdating.com, a new way for single people to meet online that's warmly, respectful, and inspiring. He's the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. He has been featured in O, The Oprah Magazine, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, Cosmopolitan, The Advocate, and more. Ken is passionate about helping people understand the search for love as one of the greatest spiritual adventures in life. Ken lives in Long Beach, New York with his husband, children, and their pets. Oh, I love that he includes his pets in there. And yes, all of that really speaks to the incredible human that Ken is. So in this episode, both Katrina and I had the opportunity to speak with him, pick his brain, share his wisdom, and it honestly felt like he was a friend and a very knowledgeable friend. You'll see, but it was a lot of fun. Amazing that we were able to manifest him being on the show. And I really hope that you enjoy this episode. Hi, Ken, and hi, Katrina. I can't believe we're here for Deeper Dating, speaking with you. Yay, all together.
Wow. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much, Katrina and Maria, for inviting me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have been manifesting you coming on this show for about 2 years now, I would say.
And that here makes me feel like we've been dating forever, Maria.
We kind of have been, Katrina. We kind of have been.
I know.
But our whole dating journeys have been improving in the process. Thank you to the book and you, Ken Page. And we started recording the episode about the podcast series, the Deeper Dating series, a couple of years ago, and really started releasing episodes, and we're reading the book and dating at the same time. And Katrina and I were our learning partners and sharing our personal experiences and learning from one another and learning from you. So yeah, we're very, very excited to be chatting with you today.
Thank you so much.
It's a full circle moment, just thinking about, I don't know, how much time we've spent getting better at this. I feel like it's almost like a meditation practice, you know, like you learn to meditate over 5 years and it's like very slowly but surely you're getting better. And like, of course, you want to put that time in so that you feel better in the process of like being with yourself, but it is like it's no quick fix. And I think that's why I love your work so much, is it's just like it's the realness. It's the realness of what dating is,
the realness. And
yeah
you know, I was just thinking about that as I was, you know, thinking about coming on this show, which I'll say a few things about in a few minutes, because I was so touched at how this all happened, like really, really, really. But I was thinking, what do I most want to say now? And the thing that I thought that feels the truest to me, after having been single for, you know, a lot of decades, and now, you know, in a committed relationship and a marriage for almost 13 years, mm-hmm. that the through line is just that it's an intimacy journey. That's the deeper truth. And I was just writing somewhere that there is not a day that goes by that I am not humbled by my clay feet when it comes to handling love and how much I have to learn and how it so much is a practice. Like the practice of learning love is a humbling and amazing process that should go on through our entire life. So just yes, it's a spiritual practice. It's a practice. It's an adventure. It is a journey to our greatness. It's the most important thing we can learn in our lives. So I agree. It's an ongoing practice.
And it keeps like reflecting in other areas of life too. Like I remember doing one of the, I forget what exercise it was, but it was about like opening yourself up to like be met in love, you know, whether it was making more eye contact and just things like that. And I still notice like even at the grocery store, you know, just like looking people in the eye, just like a second longer than I normally would. And giving them space to meet me and knowing, yeah, it's been really good. Like, I think it's given me the confidence to know what makes me so valuable. And also knowing that that's going to be the same thing that repels so many people and that's part of the process, and to not make it personal and to keep my heart open, grounded in my own self-worth. So yeah, big thanks to you.
I love everything you're saying. Yeah, thank you. And you know, I just have to say, like everything in my book is like probably connected to a story of where either I couldn't do that, or I learned how to do it, or I am constantly humbled by how difficult and how important it is to do it. But you know, everything in there usually has a story. And what you're saying about meeting people's eyes, I remember back in 1981 and I had a roommate and he was dating all the time and I was dating never. And I said to him, Vic, you have to help me. Like, what am I doing wrong? And so we were walking down the street and he said, Ken, somebody just looked at you. I said, he did not. Nobody looked at me. He said, you're so busy looking at the damn architecture. You're like, your eyes are never straight ahead. And he said, so start looking at people. And so I remembered, wow, that is like a lesson. And then a few days later, I went into a deli and the guy behind the counter looked at me and I could tell that he was looking with like a level of interest. So I fled immediately. I was incapable. I was just incapable.
Naturally.
Yes, naturally, yeah. But it was such a great moment for me because I said, wow, there's a world of possibility here. And the issue isn't that it's not happening. It's that I was, you know, not a good reflector of it, a good ability to see, didn't have a good ability to see it. So anyway, when you said that, I just had to share that story.
That's so good.
I really love that story. And it's something that I continue to struggle with, the eye contact, the vulnerability, it feels so intimate to show someone that you might be attracted to them, even a complete stranger. But it is such an important step in really showing someone that you are open and available and willing to explore. But it still makes me nervous. And I think now, especially with dating apps where people are used to kind of going on their phones and swiping through a catalog, because that's almost what it feels like, that sometimes we forget about still being present in what we desire in real life, right?
So true. Yeah. And in real life, it's hard in certain ways. And then in online life, it's hard in other ways. It's very true. Mm-hmm. But that task of becoming present and just, I think this is such a profound thing, is the ability to take in someone's love for you. Mm-hmm. Like, or even someone's like for you in earlier stages, really to take that in and be warmed by it, and as opposed to kind of being anxious around it and saying, well, I need more proof, you know, just acknowledging that the other person is liking you, is caring, and that when you pretend that's not happening, it's actually a slight to the other person's deepest vulnerability.
Oh, you're speaking to my heart, Ken, truly. And even just bringing up the topics of dating apps and also this crazy time that we're in with this global pandemic and not even really being able to see people's faces, but at least we still get to see their eyes when we're in public. What is your take on online dating and approaching it with presence? And something that really stuck with me that you had in the book, and Katrina always laughs at me, but I have to admit that I was pretty shallow when it came to dating before reading your book. Looks kind of came first and then everything else afterwards. And
me too.
You too. Okay, great. Okay, so.
Till I wrote my book, yes.
Amazing. I love that.
Maybe that's our next step, Maria. We need to write our own books and that will finally fix us.
I'm actually all for that. We'll speak about that. We can talk more about that later, but yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'd love to speak about that. Yeah, so I'd love to hear, I guess, or sorry, just to quickly complete what I was saying is now on the dating apps, I find that I'm looking past the looks a bit more than I would have in the past, but it still very much is a shallow-ish, let's say, experience. So do you have any advice or thoughts on how to be present in dating apps and connect with your attractions of inspiration and notice who might be an attraction of deprivation on the apps, if that's even possible from just looking at photos and descriptions?
Yeah, I'm going to try to control myself because I could talk for the entire rest of this episode about just that. It's very, so I'm just going to think about how to narrow that down because it's just most of what I think about, you know, well, a lot of what I think about these days. So the apps sculpt and train us to look for next, mm-hmm. look for sexier, more perfect match. This is just a little story that doesn't relate, but relates hugely to me. I was talking to a client of mine and she was talking about spending time with her grandchild. And she was talking about like how other members of the family, adults, didn't want to like get down on the floor. And she said, the thing I learned is it hurts at first. There's like a bump you have to go through where all of your adult things that matter, you actually have to swallow, let go, slow down, and then like go down to the floor. And it hurts. It hurts. And I had to learn that I can't pretend it doesn't hurt. But then it stops hurting after a few minutes and you're there. And you're so glad you are. And I think it's so true for so many of us that to slow down in intimacy hurts for a little bit at first. There's like a speed bump. It's like, we have to recalibrate. Especially, you know, I'm always busy. I'm always hurrying and doing things. Like there's like a bump of having to slow down, and the apps are made to have you speed up. And it's what I call swipe circuitry. And when you get into swipe circuitry, you actually tune into a circuitry of attraction where you look for what's the hottest, what's the best fit immediately, what's the sexiest, what is the scratch your itch type. But that type usually does not lead to good things because it's based on old pain that you're trying to resolve to a very significant degree. What you want to do in online dating or real connection is whatever it takes to shift gears into a circuitry where you're connecting to somebody and you're feeling what the weather is like inside based on their presence. And that's like a different, you got to slow down, and swiping makes that really, really hard. And there's research on this, a lot of research about how swiping actually increases anxiety and depression. So you could slow down with your swiping, or you can connect in different ways. Or, you know, I think when you go on to do online dating, take a minute to hold your hope. Take a minute to picture a really wonderful relationship. Just hold your hope and say, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. And then go in and look for inspiration. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be sexually attracted to somebody. You have to be sexually attracted to somebody, but maybe it's not going to be a 9 or a 10. Maybe from their pictures, it'll be like a 5 or a 6, or maybe even a 4, but you look for qualities that inspire you, and then you connect with them, and you're going to know so quick, is this a really kind person? Is this a thoughtful person? Is this a person who has depth? Is this a person who has practiced the skills of being able to listen and see other people, meaning me right now, as I try to do with them? And if the answer is no, then they're probably not the person for you. And you can save so much time by saying, that's the only kind of person I want. The only kind of person. This is the thing that I say, is that there's one question. Everything else will take care of itself. The question is, in an essential way, does my soul feel safe with this person? And if the answer is yes, that's awesome. And then if you're attracted to, follow that path. And if your answer is no, you know, as sexy as they are, or desirable as they are, my soul has a cold feeling inside, or I'm constantly having to prove myself, or they're not getting me. It's true. That's exactly what's happening. And you can look for someone who feels like home. And it may seem like that makes things take longer, but it makes things so much shorter because you're in a beeline then.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about connecting, slowing down enough to connect to your inner circuitry and how someone's presence affects
yes.
you, which I love that. I love that. Now, would you just like, something I do is I imagine the person like right in front of me. And a lot of people, and right now I'm looking for a man on a dating app. And I feel like men are bad at taking photos of themselves. So I get caught up in this thing in my head where it's like, okay, so maybe they're just really bad at taking photos of themselves and their presence could actually be really great. And like, how do you do this process, or how did you, or how would you recommend this moment of slowing down to see how their, you know, their presence on the screen impacts, you know, the inner circuitry? Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah. So you're now not talking about video. You're talking about photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's exactly what you said. Like a lot of guys and a lot of people don't take good photos. So I think if you feel like, you know, this is just not someone that I would be physically attracted to, and I'm really sure about that, you should honor that. Outside of that, if there's a chance you might be attracted, or that there could be a spark if there was like a better shot, for example, look at their profile and see what it reflects about who they are. And if you're still not sure, talk to them and get to know them. Maybe their voice is crazy sexy, you know, maybe, you know, so many different things. So you look for attraction and you look for inspiration and you look for both. You look for both because that's so important. And inspiration does not have to mean that this person is hugely outwardly successful or wildly, insanely in touch with their feelings. It could be that you just feel really good inside when you talk to them. There's like something that just glows inside. And then you want to get to know the person more as well. You know, because the truth is that the research shows that knowing somebody is for you right away, like most of the people who are in successful long-term relationships actually did not have a love at first sight kind of experience. Mm-hmm. You know, they had something, and that's solid research, and it kind of more grew on them. So yeah, I would say if the signs are good that this is a decent person, if you feel like it could just be a not great photo, what the heck? You're in a journey here. Get to know them. And if you're not interested, if it doesn't ring, if it doesn't click, plus you get on video with them and you find out, like, boom, what the truth is, or at least what the truth is from the, you know, neck up, or whatever. So yeah, get on video. That's another way too. But I would say, this is what I would say. When in doubt, take the next step. That's what I would say. Unless the doubt is that you don't like the way they behave, then you should seriously consider not taking that next step.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, thank you. That was really helpful.
Oh, I'm so glad. You know, what I've been spending the last few years doing is creating an online environment for single people to meet. It's called deeperdating.com. And what happens there is you gather in groups or in pairs and you get fabulous questions, like talk about a pet that you love, or talk about a safe space for you, or talk about a friend who makes you laugh, or talk about a movie that changed your life. You answer these kind of questions and they help people glow and feel warm and connected. Aww. And then there's an environment where people can meet, learn, and grow all at the same time. And I will say too, that site has an option where you can find learning partners for the deeper dating process, or other processes too. For everybody who signs up, you can search for learning partners with whom you can do this work, or Catherine Woodward Thomas's work, or Margaret Paul's work, your work, you know, any work at all. You could find a learning partner to help you kind of go on that journey. Because I think that's really, I love that you both are learning partners. I love that.
Oh my gosh. There were so many times, Ken, where we would be walking and talking and updating each other on something. And we're like, we should have recorded this, because the conversation, it's just so valuable to have someone that's with you during your whole dating journey.
It's so true.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying some really out there things once I connected to the, you know, attractions of inspiration. And for me, it really helped me shed kind of any lingering shallowness of what a person needed to look like. I dated someone like older than my parents and had like an incredible connection. I tried different relationship styles, dating someone who was polyamorous. And it was, I think, really with the guidance of your book, this past summer, I was able to fall in love for the first time without losing myself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was huge. And then to exit with self-respect and love for the other person, it was really, I mean, that's a win. So I've developed so much more trust in myself in the process. So yeah, good stuff.
Oh my God. I don't even know what to say about that. That's just so, I mean, I think these are the gems of living. I do. And I think those lessons apply, you know, everywhere. And that's the really rich, rich thing is, like somebody said to me that it's like the spokes of a bicycle wheel when it's spinning. If you look on the outside spinning, you just get really dizzy. And the closer you get to the inside, the less dizzy you get, and the more simple it gets. And intimacy growth just somehow resolves complexity into simplicity when we do that work. And that stuff is the gold of being alive on the earth. That's the gold that we give away, we heal other people with, and we just have like a different future. So it's just so gratifying for me to hear you say that. And I just want to say that when I learned that the two of you were doing the book on your podcast, I was sitting with my husband. I was like, Greg, I gotta tell you something amazing. And, you know, I was just so happy and so touched, and then, you know, so thrilled to be able to say hello to your audience.
Oh my goodness. And Ken, the responses that we get from the audience as well, and people reaching out to us and letting us know that they've picked up the book and found learning partners and have been following along with the show just lit us up. And so know that your work is really expanding outwards in probably ways that you're not even aware of.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's so, the way that I found this book originally was I was living in Bali at the time, and there was another intimacy coach that I followed on Instagram, and she was showing up to my gym all the time. And I was like too shy to say hi to her until I was almost ready to leave Bali like months later. And then I went up to her and I was like, hey, just wanted to introduce myself. And she had been sharing this new relationship that she had gotten into with a man. And she was talking about how she wasn't falling in love, how she was like really relaxing into love. And I was just like smitten by this idea of being able to relax into love with someone. And so I asked her, I was like, I just love your love. Like, do you have any tips? And the first thing out of her mouth was your book.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like, yes, there's an answer. And I think I told Maria about it very shortly afterwards. And we both bought the book and we're like, let's do the thing. So I think it's really cool to write a book and to have it just out there in the world and not know like the routes that it's traversing.
Oh, and, yes.
Yeah. So it is a joy. Just really cool.
Thank you for saying that. And that is so true. And I feel like that's like kind of like a metaphor, right? For the act of giving and also for the act of like, because when you learn your lessons, you give to the world in ways that ripple out and change futures and change the future in ways that, you know, we cannot even imagine. That's this miracle of life. It's like this loom being created and these patterns that we create, like they reach out, they ripple out, they affect people who affect people. Like, so hearing that is so great. And, you know, when I started writing Deeper Dating, I was single. And I said to an editor I was working with, I said, I feel like, you know, a hypocrite. I feel like a charlatan. I'm telling people how to do this. I've never had a long-term relationship in my entire life.
And wow.
Yeah. But he said, but you believe in this stuff, right, Ken? And I said, I do. I really believe in it. And he said, well, who knows? By the time it's published, you may be in a relationship. And, you know, in fact, that was true. So I just think that, like, there's a humility and a rigor in teaching. Like, there's the humility of saying, I am a student. I am a big time student. I have so much to learn. I'm willing to ask the hard questions. I'm willing to face the hard things to help other people. And then the rigor of saying, I'm going to put this into a framework. It's just, that just helps you so much. And the two of you have done such deep, deep work. You know, I'm in favor of distilling that stuff and putting it out there.
Cool.
Oh, I'm so inspired by everything that you just shared, Ken, because it's funny, even the way this podcast came about, I wasn't planning on creating a podcast about relationships specifically or giving dating advice by any means, right? Because I was pretty much coming out of a divorce and just entering the dating world in my 30s, where I was in my 20s before, so felt like a completely different lifetime. And I've definitely had those moments of, I feel like a fraud. Like, I shouldn't be talking about how to date or how to connect or how to be intimate with someone when I'm still learning and I'm still navigating it and I'm not in a long-term relationship. So thank you so much for saying that. Because I think a lot of people stop themselves before they start because of reasons like that.
I think that's so true. I think that's so true. It's almost like we don't get to be students, you know, we don't get to be like, we have to know, we have to be the experts. And I don't know. I do feel like if you are not constantly humbled by the need for your growth and intimacy, then you're missing something really big.
Ooh, yes. I love that.
God, I have a question about when you started falling in love with your husband, and this was while you were writing the book. What were some of the feelings that came up for you? Were you in disbelief? Was it, I'm very curious.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question, because it says something really important. So there's this thing that I have been, you know, plagued with my entire life, which kept me single, and which a lot of other people have, but I had it bad. I may still have it bad. I don't know. I've gotten past it, and I'm married, so I don't know. But it's what I call the wave of distancing. And it's when somebody is available and simple in the fact that they like you and they're there and that they're interested and they're not going anywhere. And they're not spicy in that way of being unavailable or sharp-tongued or judgmental or whatever those kind of spicy, cocky, you know, that all of a sudden I would lose interest and I would want to flee. And I would almost feel a kind of repulsion. And I've had this all my life. I had it when I was young with even friends. Like I would be like seeking after friends, but the minute they were really, really ready to be my friend, I wanted to get away. I just wanted to get away. So I had it really deeply. This connected to being gay. It connected to being child of a Holocaust survivor, a lot of like trauma in my lineage, but I had it really, really bad. And I had worked on this a really long time before I met Greg. And I learned the lessons of how to deal with it, which nobody teaches us. And I think it's a really important one. And you know, if there's time, I could just give the quick and easy on what I do and have done about that. But I thought I was pretty good at that point at having dealt with the wave. So I met Greg. Handsome and kind and lovely. And we met at an event for people with children. And I am a dad and he's a dad. And so, you know, there was that kind of a bond too. I was instantly attracted. I was interested. He was peaceful. He was calm. He was nice. I was so excited. I was thrilled. And I wrote in my journal, oh my God, all of these years when I worried about the wave and my inability to find the right person, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it's that these people weren't the right people. And that's why I experienced the wave. Maybe it was my intuition the whole time that was saying no. And because I have fallen in love and I can't even imagine having the wave with Greg. And that lasted 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then the wave came and hit me. Oh, I'm not excited enough. There's this issue, there's that issue. My feelings are gone. So all of a sudden I went from feeling like this dream of my life had finally come true to I feel nothing and I better get out of here as quick as I possibly can. With a great feeling of emptiness and loss and embarrassment and fear of hurting him underneath that. So bam, the wave like slammed into me so bad. But thank God I had my tools and thank God I had my friends. And so the tools when you get hit by the wave are don't force yourself to be falsely intimate when you don't feel it. Don't push yourself to a level of closeness that doesn't feel true. Give yourself space, but still enjoy the person and allow air and oxygen and breath. And then if you do that, the feelings will come back and they'll come back with more of a sense of, is this person right for you or not? So the feelings came back and I was like, yes, I'm still in love. Thank God. I'm still in love. I can have this relationship. I can have this treasure. I don't have to break his heart. I don't have to tell all my friends that, you know, it was like not going to work. So this happened again and again and again. And thank God for friends. I remember one friend when I went through, the feelings would all come back and I'd be like, I love him again. And then I'd be like, no, it's not right. And, you know, so I'm good. I'm a test case for somebody with the wave who had it really bad. And I remember this one time being in a cafe with a friend of mine. Am I allowed to curse in this?
Yes, please do.
Okay, good. So I'm in a cafe with her and I'm saying, so I don't know what to do because like, I don't know if it's really the right match. And, you know, I was going on about this and she said, Ken, does he love you? And I said, yeah, he really does. And she said, you know how many times you have said that you love him and you said this and you said that. And she looks at me and she's a very kind of like demure person. But she belts out in this cafe, don't fuck this up. And so then I went for my date with Greg and my feelings were back again. This was all very neurotic, but it was my experience. And what it was self-hate, shame, and fear, doing everything they could do to protect me from that great, great risk of really surrendering. And that stopped. It stopped. It finally went away. It took way longer than I ever wanted it to. It came back when he said to me, Ken, I'm selling my house and I'm buying a new house and it's going to have room for you and your son on weekends so that we can go back and forth and we can start blending our families. And all I felt was, get me the hell out of here. I was like, oh, it's the wave, because we're moving to another level of depth and I am terrified and I don't feel worthy. So I breathed through the wave, and that was, I think, the last time that it showed its face for me in my relationship. Oh, so that's the long story of this. But it's not, it's not. I'm gonna tell a little bit more. I'm gonna tell you about the night before. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you about the night before our wedding. Now, this is a man who I love deeply and wildly, and he loves me, and there's like, we have a really good and sexy and essentially incredibly kind relationship. Our kids like are just grossed out that, you know, we hold hands all the times, we hug so much, you know, they're just, you know, the animals are annoyed, like, you know. We have a really good relationship, but the night before we got married, I said, I have to talk to you. And I said to him, I can't believe that you really love me. I can't take it in. We're getting married tomorrow and I still can't take it in. So I did. And so we got married without my fully being able to take it in. And we live together, but that doesn't mean I can't take it in hugely. And for everyone here who experiences the same kind of like neurosis in relationships, I want to say that there could be two of you. There could be the one of you that takes it in and the one of you that shuts it out. And sometimes that's just what love feels like, and it's fine. It's fine. That's love. So I just want to share that too. You know, it's complicated being human, and because we get ambivalent, it doesn't mean love isn't there. And if we can hold those feelings of ambivalence with love and grace and be able to talk about them, we'll be good. We'll be good.
I'm literally melting over here. It's such a beautiful, thank you for sharing all of that. And it makes me feel like I'm not so crazy with my own neurosis. And 1 minute of, oh my gosh, why aren't they responding to me quicker? And why aren't they doing all the things I want them to do, to the next moment of, I don't even care. I don't even need them in my life. Who is this person anyways? I don't even like them. To, oh my gosh, this person is just so wonderful. And I feel so grateful that they have shown up in my life.
Oh, it's so great to hear you say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And these are just people that I'm in the early stages of dating, right? I can only imagine what will take place as love grows and a relationship grows and all of that. So I love that you've shared that.
Oh, and that's great to hear you say that. And I feel like, why does nobody tell us that love is so filled with ambivalence and is still so beautiful, and that we can have layers where we're pushing it away and not taking it in, but underneath that layers where we are deeply dissolving into it? Like, why does no one teach us that?
Yeah, well, we're fed the Disney fairy tale, right?
Yeah.
Very different.
For so sure. Helpful hearing. Sorry to interrupt you. It's just really helpful hearing you say this yo-yo, the wave, that it is normal, because I think if more people knew about the wave phenomenon,
and
even if they knew that for their partners, then I think we could all be more at home with each other. It's like the yo-yo, right? Of like back and forth. It's like, we're just addicted to the drama. But if we know that the wave is happening, then it can actually be comical and we can make fun of each other for it, like make light of it and just ride it out, like that we don't have to react to every neuroses, and that that love is also neurotic because we're human and we're never going to transcend being human so that we're like floating on eternal love forever. Like love is also complete self-doubt and complete ambivalence and wanting to run away. Like, okay, cool. All of it belongs here. It's very good.
Yeah. Such a different understanding of love and treasuring love, even though it's just so true. So true. So rich. So true. So big. Yeah.
I have a question for you actually regarding this neurosis.
Sure.
So familiar neurosis. when you were experiencing it with your partner, did you go to him with any of the things that were coming up for you, or did you address it on your own with your friends without bringing it to his attention?
I did the latter because I feel like the former could hurt so much, you know. I worked that through mostly on my own. However, what I made room for, you know, now I tell him, now he knows all that stuff, but not at the time because it would hurt him, you know. But what I did say was, like, we would take the train together at certain points, and many, many different points where he would just be, because he doesn't really have this. He has more of a secure attachment style. But little mini break here. Those of us with anxious attachment styles often have a deep gift of sensing nuance. And often people with secure attachment styles don't have that deep, deep nuance sensitivity. And if they did, they wouldn't be so damn secure, because they would be, you know, feeling some of the stuff that us folks with the anxious attachment styles sense and have to process and get wise around that other people don't. Like the kind of person who you're in a room and something's going on and it's hurting you or bothering you, but no one else notices it. You know, there's a gift there in a lot of us who have anxious attachment styles. But anyway, he wouldn't be feeling any of that. I would be feeling it. We would sit down together or be somewhere together and he'd be just fine. And I would have to do this internal process of, what do I need? Where am I at? I'm shut down. I'm distanced. What do I need? And then I would find the words for what I need. And that I would tell him. Like I would say, I think I just need to be quiet for a while. Or often this is what it was. Could we just hold hands? Cause I'm not ready to talk. This is a deep, amazing thing. Often when I felt disconnected from him, it was because I didn't want to talk. Cause there was kind of a feeling of love and peace that was so deep that it was below the surface. And all I wanted to do was just get quiet so I could connect with that. But I wouldn't know it consciously. And if I didn't honor it, all I would have felt consciously was a need to push him away. So that I did do was make room for the space I needed and asking for these weird things I needed in our connection so that I could feel like I could breathe and be present. That I asked for.
Yeah, really good. For sure. And I'm curious too, if I'm just thinking about, you know, the times that we're in and not everyone, I'm sure there's people having relationships that have been primarily digital and on screen or from a distance. What are some things that you can ask for in those moments when the person isn't there next to you? Because I feel like that's probably when the neurosis can pop in as well, right? When they're not physically present with you.
Oh God. Yeah. That's such a cool, wow. Mm-hmm. So that's, I just want to frame that like this question of when you're virtual and you feel blocks come up or you feel disconnected or you feel a need for connection, how do you handle that?
Yeah.
Somebody should write a piece on that. That's really like, that's a now problem. That's a real now problem. That's so cool. Yeah, I would say that, you know, to some degree, you You know, I'm just going to share this one thing really briefly. This is a process that helps me through difficult times in my life that I use every single day. It's what I call the inner mentor process. And I even have an inner mentor buddy. And we share our inner mentor messages every day. And all you do, and you can find on my podcast, and all you do is you just picture the you that you're meant to be, like a you on the other side of your inner glass ceilings, like the you that you were born to be, like a full unfolding of you. And you just picture that you, and you imagine that you, and then you imagine stepping into that you. And it's an imagination because you're not there yet. But it's also not, because like, you know what that you feels like. It's you. It's the you that's not thwarted or constricted and it connected to your wisdom. You picture that you, you step into that you, and then you think from this place, you look at the you of today and you think, what do I want to say to her right now? What do I want to say to him right now? And you do that. And then that message becomes your kind of piece of gold. And so I think that's an exercise for a situation like you're describing where you could check in with your inner mentor, and your inner mentor is going to tell you something. You know, it's going to tell you you're still upset because he did such and such, or you're feeling really loving, but you're afraid to show it. So instead, you're being kind of prickly. You have a need for something and you're not asking it. So I think those inner questions, and then an inner mentor exercise helps really too. But that inner questioning of what do I need now, you know, helps so, so much. And then, you know, you do have to get creative online. But I do think there's so much you can do virtually to address those things. And for everybody who is saying, I don't want to be sexual or too romantic online because it won't be real, even though we're not going to see each other physically for like the next 3 months or 4 months or whatever, get sexual, get romantic, don't stop yourself, you know, go for it. Don't, you know, be aware of what you need to be aware of. But basically, if you don't do that, you're going to dissipate the eros and the magic. And by the time that you can actually meet, that'll be mostly gone. So those are just some thoughts. But I'd love to hear your thoughts too.
Oh, so good. So sorry, I just got caught up in the sexual piece because I've been interacting with someone who is at a distance from me. He's just in another city right now, and we've built a very strong sexual relationship via texting, video, and the chemistry is there, and our communication is out of this world.
How glorious. That's great.
Yeah, so it is possible. Woo!
I haven't heard about any of this, and I'm like, oh my God, this is very exciting. And when you were talking, Ken, I was like, is he recommending phone sex right now? And I loved it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But you know, even phone eros, like if you just say, like, I'm just picturing putting my hand on your cheek and just holding it there. I mean, that stuff is just so erotic. It's, you know, totally. Whatever. Yeah. Yes to all of that.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
What were you saying, Maria, about this new thing, this long distance?
Oh no, I was just, you just bringing up like a sexual distance relationship just got my brain going to a different place into that connection. But it has been a lot of sexting and just conversations around it, which has been really powerful. And it still brings up all of my neuroses and things like that. But I think it's just evidence that you can have these types of interactions with someone who is not right beside you. And then Ken, I know you were asking maybe some of our thoughts on dealing with our neurosis when we're at a distance from someone. And I really love how you brought up just asking yourself, what do I need right now? Like, let's bring it down to the basics. Often we go into these mental loops and analysis and pros and cons, and do I bring it up to them? Do I not? And what has helped me is often going to a friend, even just sending a friend an audio note. And sometimes these audio notes can be very long, so I typically apologize afterwards, where I'm outwardly with my voice processing love everything that. That's mm-hmm. going on with me internally. And then once I kind of spew it out, then I have peace with it because I allowed it to be witnessed. I released it and mm-hmm. I'm seeing that it's mm-hmm. just my internal wounding and really not the truth of what is happening.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm starting to do that too, more like audio notes. It's because it's so much quicker and easier. Yeah. That's great. I love that.
Yeah. Katrina, what about you? You always have great methods for moving through things.
Oh God. I really like yelling in the forest. That helps me so much. Like, because it feels like unhealthy, the amount of feelings that I have sometimes to put that on another person. And I love how you said that too, Ken, that you would vent to friends or, you know, process outside of yourself. And unless you have a clear, you know, actionable request for the person, it's like, it's kind of your own business, like processing it. Yeah. So I find nature really helpful. I also find self-pleasure really helpful for remembering myself, because I can get into these little codependent loops where I'm trying to control the other person's behavior so that I get what I want, you know, my idea of what I what I think I need. And coming back to myself and sustaining myself kind of alleviates any fear. It's like coming back to my relationship with myself and reminding myself that, like, no matter what happens, this is good and I'm gonna be okay. And then another thing that I'll do, because words of affirmation is my big love language. So I'm just thinking about this past summer, that relationship that I was in. He would send the most stunning text messages and I would just take a screenshot, and I had a little folder in my phone of like stunning messages from him, so that, you know, I could talk to my friends about it too and they could reflect that back. Like, remember when he said all those things? Or I could just pull up the thing and literally read his own words back to me and be like, believe what people say to you, Katrina. Believe what they say, unless their actions are proving otherwise. Like, believe what they say. And so I was really, that was a focus for me.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Wow, that's a great practice. Like, I think that's a really great idea, like almost a meditation practice of somebody who loves you saying something about you and you just reading it, reflecting on it, taking it in. I love that. That should be a whole kind of branch of meditation practices that I've never heard of before. I really like that. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. I'm really big on it. For my birthday this year, I asked all my friends to write down three things that they liked about my body, three things they liked about my personality, and a vision they had for my future. and it was like so self-centered, which is what I think birthdays are for. And I have all of these notes like in a jar beside my bed, and sometimes I just read them and I'm like, ha ha ha, ha, this is so nice. And it's really great.
I love that. I really, really love that. And oh my goodness, Ken, I feel like we could speak to you for hours, if not days.
Me too. Me too. This was a joy.
Such a joy. Love what you're up to in the world. This deeperdating.com site sounds incredible. I'm definitely going to be checking it out. I know you also have your Deeper Dating podcast. Is there anything else or anywhere else where people can find you and engage in this incredible work that you do?
Thank you. Yeah. So if you go to Deeper Dating Podcast, you can see my Deeper Dating course. This is a course I put together, and it's the beginning of it is video and then it's audio, and it's 10 sessions with two workbooks, and it's my book Deeper Dating, but put into a really actionable course that you could take and live with and reflect on and hopefully do with the learning partner. So I'm deeply excited about that and happy about that. And there's my book, Deeper Dating. And then yes, there's deeperdating.com where you can meet learning partners, where you can meet people. We're still small, but we're growing very quickly. So you can actually go to deeperdating.com and register there. You sign up for the mailing list and then you can register and you can immediately start meeting people, messaging with them, connecting with them, searching for people who share your values and passions, because we have searches where you can search around passions, interests, and values. So, you know, you can do all those things and it's all free. It's 100% free. And you'll hear about the deeper dating events that are now starting to generate in many different places. So, and that's also a place where there's a lot of learning and a lot of other like auxiliary materials. So there's that as well. So deeperdating.com. And I think those are the main places apart from Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. And you can find me there under Deeper Dating.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, if you are dating, then you know, Katrina and I highly, highly recommend Ken's work, and sounds like there's so many great resources out there. It has been an absolute joy and honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much, Ken. I hope we continue to interact in some way, and hopefully meet in person one of these days.
That would be absolutely amazing. And I just want to say that the quality of both of your joyful enthusiasm for learning and growth and, you know, but not superficial, so deep and so rich and so kind of interesting has just made this just amazing for me. Really, really an amazing talk. And I'm just so glad that you are there doing this in the world and guiding other people to be really curious and enthusiastic students of their own wisdom journey around love. So thank you for who you are and what you do, because it's very palpable.
Oh, my heart. You're just like the biggest sweetheart ever, Ken. It was such a joy to spend this time with you and just be like, of course he wrote this book. So I'm like, yes, this all makes sense. And I can't wait to check out deeperdating.com. Anyone who's read your book and is then like seeking out more, I feel like that they'll already tick a bunch of my boxes. So I'm super excited to check it out.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, folks.
Bye.
Isn't Ken just absolutely fantastic? And Katrina too. Oh my goodness, my heart is feeling so full. It has been such a gift to be able to connect with you this way over the past year. Actually, it's been a couple years of this first season, 41 episodes. More to come in season two, that I promise you. I'm curious if any of you have listened to every episode. That would just blow my mind. If you enjoyed this episode or any of the episodes from the You Relationship podcast, please leave a review, rate it. Now is the time. Share some episodes. Go back and listen to ones that you haven't had the chance to listen to yet. This is the perfect time. It is always accessible to you. This is the blessing of podcasts. They just live on pretty much forever. And all the information, at least that has been covered off in this podcast, it continues to be relevant and will really encourage you to continue growing and expanding in your relationship journeys with yourself and with others. If you want to be entered into the draw to win the one-on-one Claim Your Worth session with me, then I invite you to complete the podcast survey, which you can find on my website, mariajeswin.com/podcast survey, or you can find the link in the show notes. And then you heard about all of the amazing things that Ken is up to, that Katrina is up to, that I am up to. You can also find links to all of those in the show notes. So thank you so much for the best possible season one I could have ever asked for. I am thoroughly impressed at my own commitment to it, but then also all of the incredible wisdom that has been shared by all of these amazing, amazing people throughout this season. So thank you so much. I love you, and see you on season 2.